Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
If you're a guest here this morning, my name is Tom Kyle. If you're newish here, my name is Tom Kyle. My wife and I, she's in Chicago with grandkids, doing birthday stuff with grandkids this morning. She'll be back here next week. Whether you hear his love for you through worship, or through one of the contributions that someone brought, or through the word that's going to come this morning through Dean, our heart and prayer is that you would encounter him and that you would know he knows your name and he has a smile on his face when he says it. And there's never a pointy finger, but there's always a beckoning hand with King Jesus. He wants you to come close. He wants you to know his love and his favor. Amen? Without further ado, this morning, we have a guest amongst us that is a dear friend of mine. He's been part of this church for 2 years. I get to meet with him regularly. Every time, there's just some people, you just meet them and you just encounter Jesus every time you see them, hear them, encounter them. It's kind of like a Kim Josar or like a Brent Griffith. You know, it's like Jesus just oozes out of them. Jesus oozes out of this man, Dean. And so I asked him many, many weeks ago if he'd mark this Sunday out just to come and share Jesus with us from the Word. Can I have him come forward real quick? This is Dean.
Well, good morning, everybody. And Tom told you my name's Dean. And I just want to let everybody know I'm really honored by the people who came here, my family, and my friends, and my grandkids. Man, it's unbelievable. I'm loving it. As you will see soon, that I'm not a professional. I'm not a highly trained operative that knows how to do that stuff. I don't even know how to work the TV controller. But, you know, I believe, and I've told your pastor, it's all about influence. Yes. Everything I do, it's about touching people's lives. Yeah. I know a lot of you, and some of you see me coming and going, and stuff like that. And I just want you to know that I really care about the way you've treated me, kindness to me. And a lot of you in here, I've been in some of your battles.
Yes.
I'm engaged in some of them right now.
Yes.
Some of you got the victory. Some of you are still battling. And I take this stuff serious. I preached in front of the Hell's Angels by myself. Amen. And now I'm looking at you. Boy, you guys are a motley crew. I'll tell you that. I think there's people in here that are hungry. They want some change. Yeah. They want to see something. Yeah. You know, tired of sitting on the bench, yeah, just looking at it. Well, you know, I know that feeling because I've been a Christian 43 years and I've battled through obscurity. This ain't even a part of my deal. I'm just right there. So hang on. Don't count it in my time. Okay.
Okay.
You know, before David killed Goliath in front of the world, he killed the lion and the bear in obscurity.
Yes.
And God rarely takes leaders from the ranks of the unscarred. So when I'm in a battle with you, I have a tender heart. And even though I come off a particular way, I've been tenderized. He asked me 3 months ago, and I sought the Lord. The ones that know me, they know what that means. I didn't say, now I'll lay me down to sleep. I prayed the Lord my soul to keep. I didn't do that. And this last week, I laid it down. I laid it down. Asked my family, no TV, no nothing. Just pray, fast, seek the Lord. Because it's not about me. It's about you.
Yes.
It's about my Father in you. And that's where we're going to go today. And today, I'm going to talk about a life-changing event that occurred in my life that was, it kind of blew my mind, you know. So look at the person next to you. Tell them to put their seatbelt on right now. Because my buddy that does a radio show, he told me to save it for the radio. Thank you. Wherever he's sitting today, I think he's here. I got the spiritual defibrillators too. You guys know what those are?
Yeah.
Ready? Clear.
Yeah.
Don't you want that?
Yes.
I'm not here to entertain anybody. I'm being really, really nice right now. And I am going to pray just 1 second, is all right?
Yes.
Just close your eyes for a second. And Father, I thank you for the anointing.
Yes.
That breaks the yoke over every person's life.
Yes.
Broken, hurt, bitter, church hurts. the hungry, those that are searching, they have the dreams inside of them. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to wait. I know what it's like to pour my heart out and pray for people. I've seen people just broken, but it's time. Father, it's time that today would be a defining moment where people can quit looking back in the rearview mirror and press on to the mark of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Yes. Because Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, guys, you ready?
Yes.
How many of you ever walked out of a store before? Walked out of a building. Now my kids are going, oh my gosh, where's he going? Walked out and you went. You're all looking at me, my kids are going, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? You walk out, because you can't find your car. So when you see somebody standing out there going like that, me and Don, where's he at? We know what that feels like, we walk out there. Anyway, we walk out, you can't find your car. Well, I got a black car with a big roof rack on an Easter basket, because I walk out with my key fob, and the key fobs today are woke. Because you go, I can't find a car. So you walk out and you're traumatized. You park at this one, you walk in this entrance, and then 2 miles away, you walk out of another entrance and you go. So when you see me doing that, that's it. So I have another story. And this was a moment in my life. Some of you that know me, see, I don't get to talk in front of people. I just get to talk to people out there.
Yes.
So my story is on a lot of people's hearts. And I see people looking at me. I want everybody to look at me. And watch me today. And whenever I was some people's youth pastors in here, and I used to say, hey, it's time to have fun. It's time to be serious. And this right now, this was a life-changing thing that happened in my life that affected me till today. So I went with my friends, and I went deer hunting on a buddy of mine's property. And he had like 2,000 acres in Warrensburg somewhere. And I thought I was really cool. How many at 18, you know, you're walking around? And you think you're cool. And I was a deer hunter. I had all my gear. I had everything going with me. You know, and I get to this house, and he's got 2,000 acres. And this guy, I think he's evil. But anyway, he had a map of 2,000 acres, like this big. And in the morning, he's going, hey, okay, you're going to go here like a quarterback. And he looks at me and goes, okay, Dean, when you walk out that door, follow that fence line down that field. When you get in there, go left about 20 yards, sit down, you'll get a deer. Oh, man, we were like, cool. So I was all geared up, man, orange Elmer Fudd hat, boof, boof, and I take off. I go down there, and I hunt. I hike in 20 yards. I sit down. I don't see anything, nothing. About 4 or 5 hours later, seemed like an eternity. It's 100 degrees outside. Well, maybe not. I'm preaching right now. But anyway, it was really, really hot, okay? And so I go back and we're all sitting around the house, we're laughing, talking, we're gonna hang out there. And usually we eat lunch and stuff, and usually people, when they deer hunt, they go back out in the woods, there's some deer hunters in there. They go back out 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like that, I don't know, and they get back to their stand and they sit there. But me, I'm always the guy, you know, and I said, I'm gonna go out now at 1 o'clock. So I took off at 1 o'clock. And because it was 95 degrees, because temperature dropped a little bit from 100, I just had my Elmer Fudd hat on and an orange shirt like this, almost like your pastor's. Stand up, okay. And I grabbed my gun with 2 clips. Each clip had 5 bullets. And I took off that way. And I went that way, and I hiked down where I was this morning, and I went, oh, cool, I'm doing this thing. I'm doing it, you know, I'm looking around. And I hunt, I do this for like an hour and a half. And then I find this tree. It's giant, and it's got these, deer hunters know what I'm talking about. They get these boards up like this. And I went, oh. And I climbed up that tree. And it must have been from the 1800s, because it didn't have plywood at the top. It just had a board sticking there. So I got on that board and sat down, and I hunted. And I hunted till like almost dark, and I didn't see a bird. I didn't see a squirrel. I didn't even see an ant. And then I heard it. You ready for this? Here it came. Oh, who knows that feeling? The girls are going, yeah, yeah. Who knows that feeling? Boom. Boom. I knew it was coming. Then I heard, have you ever heard this when you're deer hunting? And it's my buddy Mark going, hey, which way's the house? It's, everybody say, that way. Because I was mad because he's on my deer stand. So anyway, he leads and goes that way. And I sat there because I'm a professional. Anyway, I sat there, pitch black. Pitch black. Are you guys awake? Yeah. Pitch black. I did ask people don't aim in me because I get distracted. Anyway, pitch black. But remember when it was 100 degrees? I left my coat. I left my flashlight. Water. Matches. I'm freezing up in that train. I climbed down. And everybody said, I went that way. Yeah, you're laughing because somebody knows that story probably. So I took off that way and I went down to where I thought it was, and it's woods hitting me and everything. I couldn't really see, and I walked and I walked and I walked and I climbed and I come out, and then my heart started going. Some of you have been in trauma situations where you're like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. This is not good. And man, this is a 3-hour tour. And I can't stand here 3 hours to tell you this traumatic experience because I got to speed it up for you. I'm telling, time went on, and I panicked. I took my gun. I had 5 bullets in each clip, and I went, bam, 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 Mark! Because I sent him off to certain death. And I'm thinking, I'm going to go to prison because he's going to die because he's dumb. Duh. You know what we do in a lot of situations? When we do something, we start cursing ourselves. Man, I'm as dumb as a rock. Man, I'm an idiot. Why? Now I'm switching over to the Christian side. Why do we do that? Yes. Instead of saying, Father, help me right now. I'm a goofball. Help me. And he will. But I panicked. I fired 3 bullets. And then I started running. Well, that didn't last very long because I'm falling down and doing everything. It's pitch black. Everybody say pitch black. You can't talk, right? Pitch black. Okay. So I stop again. This is funny, but it's not funny because I'm going to die and I'm freezing. Bam, bam. I look at this little Iron Man watch. I remember it. I push it and it barely lights up. And it's like 7:30. Deer hunter, that's late. I'm thinking, I'm going to die. You know, and so I run. I start running. I'm running around in circles. And that didn't last very long because I couldn't see where it was. And I was getting hit and everything. And I stopped again and I went, bam, bam. Fire 2 because I wanted to keep 3. And so I fired 2. Mark! Mark, screaming. Nothing. Wind's starting to pick up. I'm going, oh my gosh, I'm as dumb as a stinking rock. You ever felt that way before? You ever been in a situation where you, maybe your mom and dad said, don't, and you did? Okay. Next time you see somebody doing that, just give them some money and hold their hand or something. Anyway. I got 3 bullets left, don't I?
Yes.
And then I got a bright idea. You ever get a bright idea? I'm going to climb a tree. How many of you here, I want you to see hands. He never asked for hands. How many ever climbed a tree in the daytime? There's one. Oh, why weren't you with me? How many of you have climbed a tree in pitch black in a forest where you've never been before with the shirt on? Oh, Army man here, G.I. Joe. Yeah, so with an Elmer Fudd hat on, I'm going to climb a tree. I looked around. I was trying to feel around like I was blind, and then I found one about this big around. I went, tell you what, when you're hungry, when you want help, when you want change, you'll get after it. Sorry, I moved over into a little Rambo thing. I'm going to try to keep it calm. I'm going to try to do that for you. I switched between the Jesus side and the lost side because this was B.C. before Christ. I started climbing that tree, and it wasn't fun. But I climbed to the top of that tree like a koala bear. I got up there, and the thing's going whoosh, the wind's blowing. I'm not even joking. I'm not even preaching right now. I'm telling the truth. I'm going to die. I'm looking like Christopher Columbus. I'm looking for something. And it was like the Amazon. I couldn't see anything. And I came back and then I saw it. Oh my gosh. I saw a flicker, a light in the distance. That's my granddaughter. That's okay. I saw a flicker and then I felt like somebody stuck an IV in my arm. I had hope. I had something to give me hope. I had vision, hope. And then I'd like to tell you that I climbed down that tree, but I didn't. I kind of slid down that tree because I used to be 6'4", tall, dark, and handsome, full-blooded Italian, but I look like this now. Because I took I'm telling you, when you're desperate, you go for it.
Yeah.
I saw that light. I'm going for that light. Well, somebody failed to tell me. Because I went to Jennings High School. I wasn't the sharpest tool in the shed. Don't make fun of me. Okay, so I took off running towards that light. That lasted about 4 feet. I'm knocked out, rolling down hills, stuff like this. And nobody told me a flickering light. It's like 500 miles away. And it's useless. But I tell you what, I got up, but I still had hope. I had 3 bullets left. I've got to narrow this story down because you guys feel like you're in Hollywood. I fall down this ridge. And I go, bam, bam, bam. I'm thinking I'm going to prison because I killed my buddy Mark. I'm crying. If you seal those doors, if anybody in here tells anybody, even though I'm almost 80, it's 11 and a half years. Goes fast, doesn't it, Don? I knew that young man when he was a stud playing the guitar. I fell down this ridge. Oh my gosh, I'm the dumbest, stupidest person in the world. I couldn't even believe it. And I'm going to go to prison if I don't die. And then I go, bam, bam, bam. Mark. And then I hear, what? I cleaned myself off and I climbed up through the little weeds, peeled back like that, stickers going like this. And I went, and there they all were, sitting on the front porch with their light off. Just laughing. Here I am, just such a sweet little 18-year-old nut. And we laughed and joked, but I tell you what, might be funny, but it was so traumatic. There's people in this room, and I know two of them really well, face death. A lot of people in here have lost loved ones. A lot of people are traumatized with what's going on in their life. And they need people around them that have their light going.
Yes.
I almost started singing a song, but I'm not going to sing it yet because you know what it was probably. So the title of today, sorry it took so long to get there, and it's not politically correct, but my light matters.
Yes.
My light matters.
Yes.
Look at the person next to you and say, my light matters. So who's Jesus? We know he's the light of the world.
Yes.
But I want to tell you something. He executed the most difficult special ops mission in human history.
Amen. Yes.
The King of Kings, Lord of Lords, goes, and Mary's virgin tummy here and lives in there 9 months. The Creator. You can meditate there for a while. Then he's born and lives a sinless life. It's amazing. And then he chooses the cross to be crucified for us, for our sins. It's brilliant what he did. But then this is where a lot of people stop. He rose from the dead.
Yes.
Man, Dean, you're not really telling me anything I don't know. Well, apparently, a lot of us don't know it. And if you're in this room today, I don't look at people just because they're at church that everything's okay. I have a different heart because I was lost. I was lost in the world, and I've been lost in the woods. And I was desperate. desperate. There's no other religion, no other leader, nobody on the planet that did what Jesus did. So when we talk about this stuff, what does it mean? What's the worldview of Jesus? Well, God, God bless you. God bless you and keep you. And then Jesus, Hollywood, outside, everywhere. He's a curse word.
Yes.
Why? Yep. Why is he a curse word? Because he's God. Yep. I don't hear anybody else's name because their other names don't mean a stinking thing. Sorry, guys, I've got kids in here. I say stinking a lot.
Yeah.
Right. Why only mock him? Because he's God. But the church, here we are, guys. I'm stepping over from the BC time to now. And we get a little soft and cuddly, singing Kumbaya. You know, we watch The Chosen. We listen to a Christian song. Nothing wrong with The Chosen. But we listen to a Christian song. We read the bottom of a paper, and it's got one says, is this one of these mine?
Yeah.
Felt like I was in the woods with no water. We'll get the lid later. I brought those in case the lights were too. Where was I?
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Well, he says Kumbaya. You say the woods what?
The church is soft.
Oh, she said that with tenacity. That was awesome. And we just got a little bit like almost in here like, I'll go there in a minute. I can't do it. I wasn't going to do it, but I got to do it. I'm going to tell a story. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Thank you.
Okay. Because I don't want to offend anybody here. Because when I was dating girls back in the day, before I met my wife. Anyway, I heard that laugh. That was good. Anyway, she laughed. I was whatever religion my girlfriend was, because none of it mattered. So I preached at this church one time. Names have been changed to protect the innocent. When I go in there, you could hear a pin drop at 100 yards. And it would echo. Somebody would cough. And you would hear it. Well, then I get up in front of the thing. And it's like, I'm standing out looking at these people I don't know. And I'm thinking, and then I did it. I'm not going to do it here. But then I did it. And those that know me, they go, uh-oh. I did it. I walked over to the wall. I looked back at everybody. They're going, what is this guy going to do? And then I did it. Jesus was hanging on a cross, on the crucifix, and I ripped the whole thing off the wall. And when I did it, everybody in the room went, like they were vacuum sealed. It was everybody in the place. I set it down, and here we go. Now I'm preaching. I looked at him, and I said, I got news for you, gang. Guy sitting over in the corner with something on. I don't know who these people are. Jesus ain't hanging on that cross anymore. We clap. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 through 16. I got my Bible, and I love to read it, but now that I've gotten older and the print's this big, I got to do this, but I got my Bible here, just in case. There's my sunglasses, in case I need them. I'll use those later. Put them right there. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like a blazing fire. His head are many crowns. He's got a name written on him that nobody knows but he himself. I'll have another sermon for that one day. Probably out there somewhere, because he's... Who knows? You guys might have tomatoes. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name? What's his name? Nope. Nope. His name is the Word of God. My goodness. His name, Jesus' name is the Word of God. In John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Isn't that heavy?
Yes.
Man, when I read my Bible, that's the Lord. I'm not making fun of people, am I? Let me tell you something about this book. This book changed my life. Look at me. Can you see this? Everybody looking at me, young people? You want to chart a course for your future? You want to marry the right person? You want to do what's right? You get your face in this thing. This book was here before I was born, and it's going to be here long after we're gone. Isn't that great? I've been saying the same things. Greg Maurer's over there going, yep, yep, he's heard it before. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors, from kings to peasants, throwing a doctor, on three different continents, three different languages, Greek, Hebrew, and Aramaic. It's an absolute divine masterpiece. Yeah. It's life unto those who find it. I caught Kim and I told her to be quiet today, so I didn't lose my train of thought. See, it did. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture. Everybody say all.
All.
What are you going through? All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, rebuking, and training the man of God in righteousness. So he may be thoroughly equipped. Man, some of us aren't equipped. I happen to be like a trauma surgeon, a spiritual one. I'm in trauma people's lives all the time. Why? They call me. They might not like me, but they'll call me when something bad's going. Because, you know, my bedside manner, and my kids will tell you, yep, his bedside manner ain't the best. I'm like a drill sergeant. Anyway, all scripture. Then it says, no scripture came about by the will of men, but by men that were moved along by the Holy Spirit. Going back to 14, verse 14. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on a white horse, dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He'll rule them with an iron scepter, and he treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he's got the name written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This, ready? Look at me. This is the Jesus that's living in us.
Yes.
Amen. We're amening in here, we clap in here, and then we go out there. I told you earlier, I preach in front of hell's angels. I'd rather do that. I'm sorry. I don't do well in here. I've told him, your pastor, I don't fit. Yes, you do. I don't fit. Yes, you do. I'm really comfortable out there. And that's who we're supposed to become, comfortable out there.
Yes.
I'm not of the world, I'm in the world. Anyway, it's not just who we are, it's who's in us. Yeah. And as we look at that and start living our lives bent on that direction, then John 8:12, it says that again, Jesus spoke to him saying, I'm the light of the world. Are you ready? Whoever follows me. If you're here today and you're not right with the Lord and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, and this is all like, who is this guy talking? Don't worry, I'll be gone. I'll be sitting over there next week, and the legend will be here and tell you everything. He'll help you with damage control. Whoever follows me. Me? If you follow him, will not walk in darkness. I walked in darkness, gang. I was lost. There was no joking around. Young people, I keep going to the young people, probably because the last time I preached, I was a youth pastor. That's a funny joke. Anyway, I keep going to the young people, because you know why? Listen to me. Where are you? Where are you? Is there young people in here? Are they all gone? Oh, they're waving at me. You're the future. Yeah, you're looking at a bunch of old people going, man, I don't want to be like that. But when you read the word, like I said earlier, it's like looking through a porthole into a whole nother world.
Yeah.
It's real. It's alive. It changed my life. We'll not walk in darkness, but we'll have the light of life. Look at a person next to you and say, I got the light of life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16 says, you're the light of the world. I got 6 minutes left and about 40 minutes left. Tom's going, oh my gosh. You guys want to stand up for a second?
We're okay.
I was just trying to be churchy for a second there. She did. I like that. You are a light. You are the light of the world. We are. A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The other day, I got to tell another story. Tom's like, oh. I pick on him a lot. I don't want to do it in front of in the public, but I do torture you because he's a young man to me. I'm 2 years older than him. Yeah.
Solid.
Solid. This you can't tell this. I cried, and you can't tell this. Guys, I went to a petting zoo. A couple weeks ago, we got a revelation for the sermon. We're walking around petting the little, girls are like this, guys don't have to listen. We're petting the little animals. Gail's like so precious and cute, and we're feeding them and stuff. And this went on and on and on. It was 120 degrees. And I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, and all of a sudden I heard, meh, meh. Dude, I can't do a sheep. Can you do it? Anybody? All is one. Just do it. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. And I went over there and I'm looking at this sheep pen. I spit on you. You see it? And I'm like, this sheep comes up. And I'm going, that's a sheep? And then I looked at the pen. I'm taking. She's ticked off at me. I can tell. I'm teasing. Anyway. Then I looked at the pen. I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be a sheepy. Sorry, guys. I'm starting to preach. Most people's beef isn't with God. Most people's beef is with us.
Yes, it's true.
Thousands of times, thousands in 43 years, I've said the same thing. I've said exactly what I just said. I get the same response every time.
Yes.
We got a victim mentality. This isn't a hospital. I've heard it many a time. We don't have to have that. What's that life alert button? Help me, I'm falling. Remember that? This is a charging station.
Yes.
A sending station.
Yes.
I come in here every week, amped, ready to go. Because I preached thousands of sermons in a secret place. Before I come here, I'm trained and ready. I'm ready to go. Some of the people that know me are afraid I'm going to call them out right now because I used to do that stuff. The church isn't the arena. It's not the Colosseum.
Right.
I walked around the Colosseum by myself in Rome, crying my eyes out like the police were going to pull up and go, take him, what's wrong with you? I couldn't believe the legacy of all those people. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses,
yes. Yes.
Let us throw aside all the sin that so easily entangles us and run with perseverance. The race has been marked out before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross,
yes.
Scorning the shame to sit down at the right hand of the throne of the Father. So consider him.
Endured
such hostility. That's King James or something? Anyway, I can't remember the rest of it, but that's all right. That's not on my notes. You can finish it later. The greatest weapon we have is our mindset. My boy's laughing at me. The greatest mindset we could ever have is have it when we're training our mind with the Word of God.
Yes.
And I want to tell you this. It was, it's very humbling. I don't want to tell you that yet. I can't do it yet. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Matthew chapter 9, then he told the disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. You think there's the workers are few. He said, pray to the Lord of the harvest. So send out workers. So that's what I'm doing today. This is what I prayed. Nobody likes the warrior till the enemy's at the gate. So sometimes we come off a little with the edge, but out there you got to have an edge. I'm sorry. I don't need an edge in here. I just got to be quiet and sit in my pew, my chair, whatever it is. We are the light of the world. Where are we? We got to ask ourselves, are we sitting on the porch? We got the light off? Uh-oh. Maybe it's flickering. Some of you go, man, I'm so convicted right now. We got a problem. Here I go. I apologize again. He knows all this because I just talked to people. We got a problem. It's called roadkill Christianity. I live at Lake St. Louis. And I often see vultures. They're flying around. And I drive by, and here's a vulture. forgive me, kids. It's like Night of the Living Dead. And it's eating all junk and guts and flies and snot. And then it looks at you like, this is good. And the other ones are flying around going, I want some of that. You go, where's he going with this? Then I drive to my house. And I live on the lake. And I open up I go in and all of a sudden I see it. This big eagle. I'm not big anymore, but the big eagle on this branch. Sitting there, and it turns around. I walk out real quiet, and it looks at me and goes, kind of winks at me. Kids are there going, is he preaching? It kind of winks at me, and then goes, foof, 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 and flies down. Shoo, grabs a piece of fish, flies back around in front of me and goes, winks at me, and takes off. Fresh. Roadkill, fresh. Children of Israel, they got manna every day. Was it good the week later? I never read that part of the Bible. So often, here we go. We live our lives. Oh, that feels great because I had cornea tree. We live our lives looking through the lens of somebody else's revelation. Guys, I'm so sorry. 25 years ago, I got this revelation. And I've made a lot of people mad. And you might get mad at me, but that's okay. I'm not on staff here. He'll do damage control next week. Looking through the lens of somebody else's revelation about God, basing our eternity on books and what they said. The Bereans were of more noble character because they sought the scriptures to see what Paul said was true. We watch shows. Like I said earlier, we watch, we do all this stuff and we think we spent time with God. Look, Dean, that's you. I'll talk about it. It's not just me. We're full of information. We're bloated. Living on regurgitated info. Then when you get in a battle, Paul I know, Jesus I know, who are you? And then you wonder, well, you're lost in the woods again. What? And you don't understand. And now's the time to train. And I'm negative. So you're just I'm almost done. Sorry. Have fun. He said, oh. You want to stand up? A lot of us are out of shape spiritually. And in Jeremiah 12:5, it says, if you've run with men on foot and you couldn't keep up, how are you going to keep up with horses? If you stumbled into safe country, how in the world are you going to make it in the thickets by the Jordan? And some of you are in the thickets by the Jordan. It's not a good place. You're under the gun. God is so merciful. But he wants young people. He wants us to know, the veterans in here. He wants us to know it's time to train. Things are going good. Train. Train. I took judo. I started when I was in sixth grade. And I went. And I watched these guys talk. And they gave me a little. And I watched it. And they gave me a little gi. A little gi like this. Plastic. And I went home. Nobody was looking. I closed the door, and I tried the gi on, a judo gi. It took me an hour to try to figure out the belt. You know, it was weird. But then when it happened, oh my gosh, I got that gi on. And I looked in the mirror. I was like, I was doing this deal, looking at people, going, oh my gosh, I'm a stud. Well, then I go to school the next day. And the guy looks at me, his name was Pete. He looks at me, he's laughing because he knows. He looks at me and goes, what are you looking at? And I go, I'm taking judo. I know judo. I got beat. They beat me. They beat me. And my jiu-jitsu teacher told me one time, there's no such thing as tough, only trained. What are we doing? These are worldly people telling me these one-liners. What are we doing? My game today is to inspire the fire. I laid down all the books. I laid down all the sermons. I got my own revelation. Yeah. I wanted to be my own sermon. Oh. Do you hear me? What do you want? You want to just sit here? Do I want to just sit? No. So I do, because I don't want this. I resisted. Because I could talk to you 8 hours. I like out there. I like the Hell's Angels because I know what I'm getting. But we come in here, we got this combo mixture of I don't know what's happening, but I felt like I could talk about Jesus. True success is time spent with God. You either got it or you don't. So when we spend time with the Father and we study and we train, He equips us. Oh, amen. The last story, real quick. I went to the Winsville Rec Center. Senior citizens, my buddy had the silver pants, shirt, whatever the thing is, shoelaces, what's it called?
Sneakers.
Thank you, sneakers. So I stood there thinking I was going to get the silver sneaker deal. Doing a little negotiation. Mark knows, you're not old enough yet, are you?
No, I'm not.
Okay. So I'm doing this little negotiating, and in my peripheral vision, I see this guy standing there. 6'4", tall, dark, and handsome like I used to be until I climbed and went down that tree. Took everything off. I've changed. And when I hit the ground, it stunned me. I looked at him, and I caught his eye, and he goes, smiling really big. And I did the church thing. I went, hey, how you doing? Smiled real big. He goes, you remember me, do you, Dean? I went, no, man, sorry, brother. Gave him the brother thing. He goes, well, 3 years ago, you and your friends went to a movie. I went, uh-oh. He goes, and me and my friends went to a movie. And after the movie, got to put some chapstick on. Because this part gets me. After the movie, you and your friends left, walked out the door. But you were the last one. You stopped, you opened up the door, and you're looking out. And you hesitated. It seemed like a long time. But then you walked back in, and you went straight to me. And you told me about Jesus. You didn't just say Jesus loves you. You told me what to do. You challenged me. And then you left. Because Jesus never begged anybody to follow him. And I'm not going to beg anybody here. Today my mission was to come in, tell you what's up. You're going to make the adjustments. We are the light of the world. Jesus didn't come to make us feel better about ourselves. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. And make us a new creation. Yeah. And then he had the audacity to say, go. I'm a secretary. I cut grass for a living. I drive trucks. I can't do that. You, Dean. I told your pastor, that's such an insult to me. To tell me who I am. Not you guys. I'm passionate. But to tell me who I am, I know who I am. Jesus has got a name on him that nobody knows but him. Yes. To those who go overcome in Revelation 2:17, you're going to get a stone with a name written on it that nobody knows but you. Time to get personal. I got personal. Cursed is a man who depends on the arm of the flesh. I don't get no help. I didn't get no help from church. I went out there. That's what we're doing. Well, Dean, you're an evangelist. Yeah. It's impossible to believe in Jesus and stay the same. And right now, we're all invited. All we have to do, and I'm going to say the word, is repent.
Yes.
Repent. Uh-oh. Maybe the back. Sometimes I used to go stand in the back and preach. I didn't do that to the Hell's Angels. The word repent means shin bet in the Hebrew. Means burn that house down, completely obliterate it, and destroy it, unable to ever return. Oh, no, Dean, I'm saved by grace. Yeah, grace teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled. They go together.
Yes.
They go together. Jesus never begged anybody to be saved. And I'm not begging you, but I'm going to tell you the truth real quick. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life.
Yes.
To Christ Jesus. And to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's good news. The question, where are we today? Right now, I'm doing surgery. Bear with me. You can go to McDonald's in a minute. Where are we? Are we on the front porch of life? We all are. We're all standing on the threshold of eternity.
Yes.
Ask Hulk Hogan, looking over his shoulder. Yes. I hear that he gave his life to Jesus. Great. On the front porch, no light on. Distant. Maybe a little flicker every now and then. When we get around our friends, we just turn it off. And then when we get away, we're church, we flicker. That looked a little feminine, sorry. He gave us a choice in Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. I'm ready to start preaching any second, gang. Cece's over there going, you know what, Cece, I tell you something, I'm proud of you. Anyway, I'd rather be you cold or hot. Because if you're lukewarm, you know that story. Yeah. I'll spit you out of my mouth. We choose. Right. Our light, here it is. Our light is either on or it's off. But if it's flickering, that is disgusting. So I don't care who you are, the word repent applies to all of us, to me.
Yes.
Look, I'm not preaching at you. I'm with you. This is Jesus. I'm talking about my Father. He's telling us. We choose. Bible says if we confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. For it's with the heart we believe unto salvation, and the mouth we confess and are saved. You get that?
Yeah.
If we confess him before men, this one hurts. This one hurts. If we confess him before men, he'll confess us before the Father. I almost broke my hip doing that. Do you see that? I'm a little older now. If we deny him before men, well, I'm born again. It don't matter. I'm saved. Well, you're reading a different Bible than me. If we deny him before men, he'll deny us before the Father. Humanity is on the Titanic, and we know what happened to that. It's sinking. And whether we like it or not, the world is so hurting. There's so many crushed people all around us, lost, yes, searching for a light. I saw a flickering light, and I was drawn to it for a moment until I couldn't get to it. When I saw him on the front porch with no light on, it traumatized me. It's funny, but it traumatized me. And then when I got saved, it affected me. Jesus is the lifeboat. We're not getting off this boat. Hebrews 2:3 says, how can we escape if we neglect such a great salvation?
Yes.
Choose this day, I'm going to challenge you, whom you're going to serve. And like I told you earlier, Jesus never begged anybody. Let's pray. You guys can all stand up to your feet for a second, because I want to sit down. I'm teasing. Father, everybody just close your eyes for a second. Shut out the noise. Shut out the noise, the noise in your mind. So many voices in the world, so many, you know, all the different avenues to steal our thoughts. Father, I pray you convict us of our sin and our complacency. Heal our backsliding. Grant us repentance. Open the eyes of our understanding so we can see the light of the gospel. Show us who you are in us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. I want the power. Acts 1:8 says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. I want to be a witness. That's what I want.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this to you. Everybody look at me. Amen.
Amen.
Just like the guy at the movie theater. I'm just a messenger. You got to do what I said. I saw one guy yawning. It's time. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Dean. All right, everybody, please remain standing for just a moment. Just want to ask if you would like to be prayed for this morning. We have a prayer team. I want to invite the prayer team to come forward if you have a need. But I have a special request. If you need Jesus this morning, you've chased a lot of things. You looked for a lot of things. You've tried a lot of things. Jesus is the only thing that truly satisfies. Jesus is the only hope that you have, that I have, that we have. So if you want Jesus this morning, not church, not religion, not just a nice person to pray for you, but if you really, you know you need Jesus this morning, I want you to come forward. This morning, if you need a miracle this morning, you have no hope. You've tried a lot of different things, and you actually need a miracle this morning. I want you to come forward and have someone pray for you. And the last thing I'm going to ask is, if you're hungry this morning, if you're hungry, I've sat in a lot of different churches over 45, 47 years, and I've listened to a lot of different messages, and I've walked out of a lot of meetings being just the same. Just another message. And then there's those times I think, Lord, I really want to change. I want to be different. Today, I'm tired of being me. I'm tired of being same old. I'm tired of being bored with life, when actually I'm just bored with myself because I'm not passionate about him. If you would like to change today, Dean used the Bible word repent, which means burn a house, never to go back. It's uninhabitable now. If you would like to just say a line in the sand today, I'm tired of being bored with life, bored with things that don't truly satisfy. Today, I want you, Jesus. I just want you. I would like you to come forward this morning. We would like to pray for you. So, Father, thank you for your goodness. Father, I thank you that you are the God of the 1,000,242nd time. But Lord, we don't know how many days we have. Like Hulk Hogan, we don't know the day when we're going to depart. So Father, this day, I want to choose you. This day, I want to choose, I want to be different. This day, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I want to change today. Father, give me the courage right now to say enough is enough. I want you, Jesus. I don't want to be really religious. I just want you, King Jesus. Just come forward. You may just stand up here. You don't want anybody to pray for you, but it's just a sign to yourself. I just want to come forward and say, this day, line in the sand, I'm going to be different. So we're dismissed. God bless you. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.